Gold internally taken in a colloidal form is far even superior than is colloidal silver, but you do not have the antiseptic value that you do from either the oxysol, which is a different method of catalytic action, which gives you something else, a whole different product. That was for one purpose, and I guess we're going to have a meeting where we can go over nothing but these products. And EJ, I'm going to have to tell you, son, that you're going to have to go back to my first suggestion. This lady was very pleased to get her products, but her bottle blew up in the cupboard and knocked the cupboard loose. In EJ's desire to give more than the value expressed, said, oh, I'm sure that by allowing this to completely finish its processing, there'll be room in these bottles for any expansion for heat. Well, it won't do. It just will not do. I think you may be able to dilute it in half rather than the 4-to-1. But you've got a potential dangerous product there when you ship it in this kind of weather and it sits in the sun as it did with one person. Ones back at Daystar had theirs delivered and it sat for a week on the front porch in the sun. And of course, the colloidal product is not touched, but the oxysol will react. It will continue to react with the heat. That's one reason it is so wonderful. And when we get those little black boxes, are you ever going to love it? But you don't need it blowing up in your cupboard. So you're going to have to ship it more diluted or in pressure containers or something. I just thought I would mention it since it's fresh. God has shared with you and with us the ability to make this journey. We don't urge anyone to do anything they don't want to do. We certainly do not force anyone to have anything they don't want. But I am not going to reach into the stupidity and silliness of a situation where we cannot sit down here as if this were our living room and visit. And in a little bit, I want you ones to communicate with me. I don't want you leaving here and going and chitter-chatting about it if you have a question. If I can answer it, I will answer it. If I should not answer it, I will tell you. If I cannot answer it, I will also tell you that. And I'm going to have to ask John some questions because George is dumping it on him again. Is there never enough? Is there never, ever enough? How much does John Strafer have to pay? How much in God's name does he have to pay? Is not enough to bop him over the head with a fire extinguisher? Is not enough to be slowly poisoning him? Is not enough to be named in a suit against himself by idiots? All of you will remember back to the day when John sat in amongst us and said, I don't know, Leon called me and asked me to go to Carson City to meet with George Green. And now George says, ask John how he called Leon and set up his meeting. And ask Bud Clark. Well, maybe he did ask them to go.
She's a liar.
It's all right, John. John has had a little bit of a setback health-wise in just his strength. And he went to court to try to get finally something settled, and they postponed it until the 10th of August. And the man by night is sick. How much stress can anybody take? How much does the man have to pay? He was put away into an Alzheimer's center without Alzheimer's. Then he was whisked away in the night and put where he was hidden. He had to run away with nothing. And he came home because he considers his home. He stayed with Aubrey where he could have care. Then we offered and furnished an apartment where he might live. And Patricia was tending, but that had turned into a total disaster, and Patricia must know it. There was so much yelling going on between the two of you that the tenants were complaining, and they were going to have to move us out. That's no way to live. If you cannot live with a spouse, how can you live like that? And I believe that Karen and Paul and the friends have found a place where he can go, at least for 2 months, where he can have a little bit separate care. And for God's sake, let's let Patricia have a rest. She's been at this for a long time now. She needs a rest. And then we can recoup as we go along to see what else we can do to help John through this period of time. But I find myself appalled that this can go on and on and on infinitely in these courts of supposed law. A judge orders something, and it is simply not produced. Nothing is produced. I'm going to myself read this. Ed just sends it over. He's amused by it. I'm amused by it too, but I'm not going to let it play. And yet, we're not going to take up time in the paper for this kind of stuff. George is basically pushing Ed to see if Ed will retaliate, respond, do something else in the paper. And I concur. I think that is an extremely big error. But we do function around here with one another. We live in this community. And a lot of people take the paper. A lot of people take these tapes. But in the overall scheme of 7 billion people, I don't think 1,500 really is such a big deal. So I'm just going to read it. Dear Ed, I am enclosing some more documents, homework for you. Now, I hesitate, and never would I say anything about an ill-written piece of paper unless it comes from one who puts himself up as the expert, the supreme business person, and then writes something that is just poorly done. Number one, copy of monthly newsletter from CUT. You can replace the profits headings with Doris and EJ for comparison purposes. Well, that didn't mean anything at all. Who in the world are the prophets? But as you dig through, you find this. Now, number one, this is not a monthly newsletter from CUT, Church Universal and Triumphant. This is a newsletter by someone who left that church bashing Claire and Mark Prophet, or Elizabeth, or whatever we call her. And let's see, what would that be? Elizabeth Claire Prophet and Church Universal and Triumphant, the cult of idolatry. So, all right, Doris Ecker and Church Universal and Triumphant, the cult of idolatry. Does it fit? Well, okay. And then Mohandas, not Mahatmi, or Mahatni, or even Baba Ji, Gandhi. But Mohandas, maybe it's a son, I don't know. A little bit of truth is inoculation against the real thing. So undoubtedly, what we have given you here is only a little bit of truth, and George Green is the truth. Now, that is marked big here. I would like every one of you to take time to read this entire thing. The man wanted to get married. There's nothing here. The point I want to make is that this is not even written by the church that he sends it. 2, copy of article regarding Scientology and the use of the courts. Now, let's see. Well, I don't know. Let's say this must be it. It says elitist mentality, anyway. Members, that's fun if you've got a membership, I guess. Members are made to feel part of an elite core of mankind, the feeling of being special, of participating in the most important acts in human history with a vanguard of committed believers, is strong emotional glue to keep people sacrificing and working hard. If you're serving a group of anything, you're nuts. And yet, if you think you're not special enough to work in the circles with God's people, then I can't help your unworthiness. As a community, they feel they have been chosen by God, history, or some other supernatural force. If God ever participates, it is purely in acceptance of your offering. To lead mankind out of darkness into a new age of enlightenment, cult members have a great sense not only of mission, but of their special place in history. They will be recognized for the greatness for generations to come. In the Moonies, we were told that monuments and historical markers would someday be erected to commemorate us in our sacrifices. Bullshit! If you're waiting around for some kind of a marble statue unto you, please go to Claire Prophet's group. Ironically, members of cults look down on anyone involved in any other cult group. They are very quick to acknowledge that those people are in a cult, or they are the ones who are brainwashed. They are unable to step out of their own situations and look at themselves objectively. Well, I hope we're washing brains. I hope we're getting the detergent out. 3. You will notice that ADL uses, and then there is a blank, I white out. So I guess the ADL uses white out. I assume there are just enough letters that you can see through the white out that it says, really. You will notice that ADL uses lies. But there is no two in there either, so we'll have to use some imagination. You will notice that ADL uses lies to destroy the accuser, if at all possible. Take a look at the protocols. Now, what in the world does the protocols have to do with this? It's not that the material is wrong. It's that it's anti-Semitic nonsense or something. Another example, get this one, would be Rick Weber. And he's, you know, he always is putting it in quotes because we all know it's Mark Williams. I mean, we were right there in a courtroom with Mark. Pen name material. Who cares who wrote it? Is it true? There's no question mark, but, you know. No, number one, it is not true as presented. Number two, we do have that because he supplied it before for our friend. That's this little booklet all of you have had. He spread it to the world. And I'd like to just pick up one thing right here, right on the front of Mark's. This is all plagiarism. These are all marks of plagiarism. He's gone through all of the journals up to that time. And for God's sake, he's pulled out the very names of the ones that we've given credit to. He's proved our point. Now, let's just look at this one. Because he wants to refer to this and how true this is. A document that was distributed by the Association for Sananda and Sanat Kumara came into my hands several months ago. Part of it is also quoted and commented upon in the Phoenix Journal, Crucifixion of the Phoenix. In it are some startling statements. Perhaps the most disturbing is the following, and then he quotes something from the Secrets of the Andes. Well, Secrets of the Andes is a book written by Brother Philip. No, it isn't. The book itself was written by, let's see, what is his name? George Hunt Williamson. Only George Hunt Williamson is not his name. His name is Michael Dielbrenovic. Four, item enclosed is a judge's order on Leon Fort. That's an interesting way to put it. Come now, Ed. Leon Fort and his 90-year-old mother requested their money back, and the Eckers operation is to appeal the judge's decision. The Phoenix Institute is the party in point, number one, not the Eckers. An agreement was made with Leon's attorney to repay Leon. Money was paid. It was to be paid, quote, in camera, which means silently, because of all of the problems surrounding the things that George Green was doing. I guess that'll teach you never to settle a damn thing, won't it? Because it always comes back to bite you. So I'm going to give you numbers right now. Because I don't think they're petty. And Leon has said, I have gotten back whatever I've gotten back in little piddling sums. Over $40,000 was paid to Leon Fort's attorney. Via what was thought to be an agreement, which, granted, was never signed. So an appeal was made to get the agreement finalized. Leon Fort sat in the hall with Gene Dixon and, I believe, Brent, and told them both that, in smiling tones, they never signed the agreement. They wanted to see how much money the Institute would spend before they caught it. So this order on Leon Fort, it says, it is apparent from the pleadings in this case that if there was an oral settlement agreement in this case, by the time documents were exchanged, there was no meeting of the minds as to the conditions of settlement. Well, so down with the Institute. Are the Eckers always right? Let's see, he's got it this way. The operation is to appeal the judge's decision. Eckers didn't do anything, number one. Number two, what would you do? There is no order. What is the decision? The decision is that there was no decision. The Eckers always write, big bold print. At least that is what they claim. All the papers are there. He claims all the papers are there to prove his point. Go over and meet with Gene Dixon and look at the papers. Have you called Leon to meet with him to see what happened yet? Or are you still listening to the Ecker Hatton and not investigating? Is Leon the advisory for asking? I'm sure he must mean adversary, but it's not that way. For asking for his money. By the way, the Eckers' response to Leon was that he had no money. It was the corporation that EJ formed for them, so Leon had to reapply for his money, and then he was attacked. Do you have corporations, people, or do you not? Or do you work with a corporation, or do you not? How many corporations, including America West Publishers and Distributors, did EJ and Dorma sign on to get your paperwork done? 100 of them. You have to have somebody sign your paperwork for your corporation. There was never any involvement in business. And I want to know how many of you would like it if... Why don't you just pick anybody? Whether their corporation or no corporation or whatever, why don't you just send a letter to EJ and say, I am Joe Blow. I want my money out. I have $100,000 in. How are you going to all feel then when EJ just says, okay, must be, you said so. This is a valid, viable corporation. These are corporate laws. Okay. Five. Please take John Schrafer. Well, it's really Schrofner. To dinner, coffee, and verify the following. Who did he give his money to for the construction of his dome in full, and how much? He didn't give anybody any. And because no other money was put into the dome, it does revert until something can be settled. And neither did Eleanor put anything, not one cent, into that dome. What is the status? Why? What difference would it possibly make to George Green? Or to Ed, for that matter. Ask him if he invited Leon to come with him to Carson City as a fellow inquirer, and also you ask Bud Clark the same. John, I don't know if you called him or not. I certainly do not object to anyone going. For goodness sakes, if someone calls over here and would ask me to go somewhere, I'd be happy to go and inquire about what's going on. What did you find when you got there? John says he found that George wanted everybody to get their money out in gold, that he had a way of rolling over gold. And he also could put the money into his project. Now, John, am I right or is it not so? This is what you have said.
That's so.
Seven. Remember, I guess remember. The seminar held by court in Las Vegas with invite for the investors to come to Tehachapi for a meeting with Hatton and especially Ricky Bushnell. I won't tell you the number he's put here. Invested and Sherry Yaunt nearly, and I won't put that either for her privacy. Invested. Whoops, we mean the corporations formed by EJ for them to have it invested. Call Sherry. All right, Sherry, here we go, precious. 407-832-2623. Compliments of George Green. About her request for the return and accounting of her money. As a matter of fact, Sherry Yaunt receives interest for the money invested, if you can call it invested. She loaned some money to the Institute. A lot of what she loaned to the Institute was immediately turned around and put into her corporations. So I suggest all of you call Sherry and let's see if she understands anything about this. Ricky Bushnell is the very one who called and said, George Green, just call me, and said there was a carload of people leaving his driveway and they're going to pull down the Institute. Doesn't anybody use their brains at all? At least Ricky did. What does he mean he's going to pull down the Institute? Eight, what is the status of the local group and their request for money? It is always money. Well, group, quit asking for money. We've tried to produce product. We've tried just to make the little businesses go. until we can grow. Do you see how out of both sides of the mouth that very statement is? The Eckers have the control over the sheep of their money and lives. I would be incensed if I were you. God, who reveals everything, remember, has no secrets. Really? Nine. What is the current status of the following? Wendell Hoffman, and he's got an amount, invested. Get this one. His kids want the money back. Wendell Hoffman has made thousands of dollars off my product called Giandriana. I am talking thousands. You will not hear Wendell Hoffman complaining. Betty Tootin. She left the fold and she wants her blank returned. What fold? Does Betty claim to be stupid? Could she not understand what... have a paper here from Loretta Perry explaining exactly about the Institute and her relationship with it. She didn't misunderstand. She's got it right there for the court, the lawyers, and her kids. And he also mentions, sounds like Luke Perry and his family wanting their money back. Luke Perry has not 1 cent in anything. He is a worthless waste. Even tried to get the law of Nevada corporations changed so he could get part of his mother's. It's $100,000, people. That's all she has for her life. You said it, I didn't, thank you. 10. This one's a good one. I hope Ed really does it. Have you went to see Jason Brandt about what happened in the court on the day Eckers went to him? Which day? Which insulting day? You mean the day that he divested himself of any integrity at all and then took the tapes of the day in court when he got overthrown on appeal, destroyed them, and then the Eckers got to pay an attorney for having a reconstruction hearing because the tapes were missing? Only they didn't get invited, they only got the bill, which does arouse some curiosity. Oh, you will take Ecker's story. Question. Where did the Eckers get the money needed to redeem the house on the supposed sale? There's no question mark, but we'll assume one. They got it from a man named William Cudd. The gentleman owed them a lot more money than he loaned back to them. It's going on a decade. He turned around, he loaned them more. They had to give the money back. That was the arrangement. How long does a bank let you sit with their money out of CDs, etc., making nothing? So it went back. Then against the absolute, there was no question about this. over the absolute assumption that it would work out fine, he even loaned him money to go to court with it against the house. Well, you know what happened with that. The RTC sold it. The next question is prove it and the amount. Well, let's see. After 8 years, I believe it was $186,000 in a cashier's or certified check, cashable, $5,000 in cash, and then they carried every bit of spare cash they could to that sale. They went on a Friday and got the money, and it sat in the deep freeze, dormant, terrified that something would happen to it before Tuesday. Prove it? It was well proven, but the documents of proof, including the deposition letter of Mr. Cudd, was taken from the file by Stephen Horn. But the court allowed the copy of the letter to be inserted. Mr. Cudd has now had a triple bypass and is on dialysis 3 times a week. So I suppose we're going to haul this dying man into court to prove something about George Green. I think not. I think not. Those other attorneys found Mr. Cudd's attorney. And when they found that this was valid, they dropped it like the hottest potato that ever they touched. Mr. Cudd owns a hell of a lot of property that you all ought to have access to in Belize, including a bank. The Eckers know the appeal process and the rules of civil procedure so that appeals can take years, and they hope to wear everyone down. Oh. Guess what? Now, this is a big surprise. Big capital letters. I am not going away. I will continue to expose the lies for what they are, and it is all of these depositions and court documents from all places that reveal the Eckers for what they are. And they can appeal everyone else forever, but facts are facts. And here is where you really, and then is a big blank, what your FUD stands for. And I assume him, I don't know, maybe Ed put show in there. You really show what your PhD FUD stands for. It's not written properly, so it means FUD. One, you investigate the facts for yourself and get all the facts yourself from both sides and retain your status as a real PhD. We never doubted your education before. Two, or your status is, as we used to say in the college days, piled higher and deeper. What in the world is he saying to a doctor? Piled higher and deeper. Ed Young and you people have turned a paper into the most worthy document going out anywhere, anytime, any day. And this kind of insult. 11. They make reference to a deposition in the US&P case, which I suggest you read. No, he makes reference over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you one more time in Dorma's behalf. The deposition he keeps referring to was on charges of contempt against them for him selling banned journals. And they didn't have the $6,000 to pay the confounded attorney. Who threw the case away. So he takes it to arbitration. Then they go to US&P because those attorneys want to be paid for that contempt charge. There was no hesitancy to go in there to Fresno and spend a day under this kind of duress. While before they got back to Tehachapi, George Green had the deposition, which was not even finished, and he sent it to everybody on his mailing list, all nicely highlighted. And Rick Weber uses it in one of his things. Dorma didn't know who owned the Institute. George Green set up the plan. He also had two or three corporations set up. The books were all missing. She thought he must have owned it. Don't confuse business with corporate records. Because if you do, you're foolish. And you shouldn't be dealing in either. And certainly don't involve anybody else in it if you're not willing to get informed. Have you contacted Leon, or are you just vegetating and waiting for more people to feed you garbage? No question marks. I mean, this is so badly done, I'm embarrassed for an adult. Have you met with Nora and discussed anything? Underline, nothing secret, remember, or is it that all of you are afraid of what you might find out and covering up each other's lies? The Eckers don't care. They have the money and power over all of you until you take back your power. What price, souls? Have a good day. We still like you, even though you may have went to sleep. Ed, I'm sorry. I find it so embarrassing that I'm sorry. Doesn't bother him. It bothers me. I invite every one of you to go and visit with any one of these people on the list. But don't take ranting and raving. There's something missing. We should have brought Ann Beam's letters to both Jerry Spence, who absolutely has nothing to do with any of this. The only petition to Jerry was possibly to represent the property case against the savings and loan. And then Ann Beam wrote to the Bar Association of Nevada. And there is not one iota of truth in anything she said, except when papers were filed on the infamous case, Paul filed and served these papers while Leon drove him around. Mr. Abbott and Mr. Paul and Mr. Fort all swore that this person delivering these papers had no interest in Infinite Balance, the corporation, only to find when you're trying to do business that Paul was president. When this came to the forefront and the judge threw it out of court on this basis, they resigned Paul, and now Ann Beam, as of June, is the president. What in the world are we doing? And then she goes on to say, but Leon Fort is the corporation. It's his corporation. Fine. Let it be known they said it. That's their business. But it was never Eckers. And the very moment there was discussion about it, Eckers very, very happily turned in their resignation and removed their name even from the corporate record book. They were not serving in any capacity except to pass that corporation paper book through. What else can I say to make you understand? Will you just have to go visit Jason Brent? I'm sure he has said he's going to drive these ones out of town. They cost him his election. The Eggers are the worst thing that ever happened to Jason Brent, and I personally hope so. This is the same man who's going to kill off the old, the infirm, and the stupid. Because he's with Minza, and he is so smart. And depopulation must be accomplished.
Baloney.
Watch out, John. You're getting into those categories. How are you, John?
Still trying to find out what happened.
It'll get clear.
Infirm and stupid.
Well, I'm sure that it was planned that old, infirm, and stupid John would never be around to be here this day. And I do believe, John, that you've made some wise, wise choices right here. And I think that you will be enjoying your new location for the next couple of months. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but he's going to be in there with three ladies.
Find out.
Stay out of the bedroom, John.
I think I'm smart enough to know that.
And they welcome visitors at any time. They welcome barbecues. They welcome any kind of participation. So it'll be a very pleasant stay for you, John. You're going to enjoy it while you need care.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see that you've got a support walker. That'll help keep a little bit of the weight off your ankles. One of the prime symptoms of arsenic poisoning, my dear ones. Actually, John fell into a beriberi state.
May we pause this?
Yeah, I want this on tape.